Oh, tumbler's down.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the Webcomic Beacon. This is the newscast for February 27th, 2011. I am your host, Ross Scott of The System. My work can be found at systemcomic.com. Did I mention it's episode 167? I can't even remember. But it is with me today on the show, of course, as always, is the amazing Alex of Alex's Guide, which can be found at alexsguide.net. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's up?
I loved your comic with the She-Ra reference. That was
Thank you.
Also with us today, the always interesting and sometimes mopey Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Hey, Mark. Well, hello there.
How you doing today?
I'm okay. Hello.
Okay. Also,
I'm a professional.
As a special guest star of the day is Carter Fortz of the desperately in need of censorship Crooked Gremlins, which can be found at crookedgremlins.com. Hey, Carter.
How you doing? Desperately in need, I think, is a reach, but sure, we'll take it.
Well, there were dick golems, and they weren't blurred out.
Well, there still are.
Yes, there still were. By the way, I love the storyline that's been going lately about the guy in Tibet and the sheep raping. That was classy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Paul said he had this idea and he said that he could make it classy, and I believed him. So that's where we are.
Now, when you and Paul get together to work on the comic, who tends to have the more reaching ideas?
Oh, well, he has, I guess I'd tell you, he has most of the ideas, which is just great for me.
Makes my job very easy. So if he has most of the ideas and draws it, what are you doing?
We have a very complex relationship, I guess. The best way for me to describe it, is that I'm sort of a midwife for the comic. it's better when we both work on it, but he does a lot of the work of producing the actual strip, whereas I'll help with individual jokes and everything else related to running the site and getting us outside work and things that keep the comic going.
Well, Rockon, be sure to check out his work and of course the work of all of those of us here on the show. Also, we could not make this show happen without two very awesome people, the first of which being Fess of PSIwebcomic.com, who is constantly there and chimes in whenever he feels like it. Yep. And of course, there he is. And of course, Eric of Exern, EXIERN.com, who does a lot of the legwork for finding all of the articles that we are going to be talking about today. All right, so with that, on to our first article here on the newscast. A recent webcomic reader has been released, and this article is via Google Alerts and ghacks.net, and the original post is over on userscripts.org. It is a new webcomic reader that does people the favor of taking out the silly things like blog posts and non-comic images and advertisements, and gives the people what they really want, which is the comic itself in a scripted format that helps them just suck it up and go straight through it.
Not 6 months goes by before we hear about another one of these stealing scripts.
Right. I mean, these things are very common. It's been released in app form on occasion, or websites that do it for you and that sort of thing. And every time it does, webcomic creators, because we use the comic and put posts with it to try and generate traffic and buzz and, go buy our stuff and whatever, you know, tend to get upset about this sort of thing. So let's start with the most basic question of, if this happened with your site, or if people were reading your comic this way, would you get upset? Or do you care?
I'd be upset.
I would be upset.
I don't really care. If people are reading the comic, I'm happy about it.
Alex? I would be slightly annoyed, but, I mean, my readership is still rather small at this point. So, for me, any reader reading any which way is fine with me. But if I was more dependent on my advertising revenue for survival, then, yeah, I'd probably be a little more upset.
Now, I've had comic readers come up to me at cons and say, oh, yeah, well, I went to your site and I really liked it, so I just opened up the file where all the comics are and downloaded all of them and just read through them and printed out a bunch and put them on my wall. And my first thing was to be like, really? You couldn't just give me $5? You know, because I try and make some money on this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, they're now a big fan. Maybe I'll catch them on something else in the future, right? But comic artists tend to get kind of upset about this sort of thing. So no one here is pissed, really. We're just happy to be read, I guess, at this point.
Well, it's
at this point I'm picking my battles, and this isn't a battle.
Right.
I'm not even one of the supported comics on that really long list. So, you know.
I'm not nearly big enough a fish to be on that list, but
exactly.
it would upset me. Because you know, as you said, I mean, if you're supported by advertising, and it's more than that, it's not just advertising. There's more to it than that. You're not going to get that money. You may not be able to measure your traffic through this thing. It may be ad supported. I don't know that it is, but some of them tend to be ad supported. You're not getting a cut of that money. They're basically stealing your content
they
for
are.
Free. The thing is. Your comic is not just the only part of what you're doing. You also have a website there that has other content on it that, you know, enhances your comic. It's part of your comic universe anyway. Not just ads, but maybe your blog post is, hey, you know, why don't you come out to this con and meet me at this con between these dates and say hi, maybe pick up the new book. Hey, I got a new T-shirt out. Or it might be something. Where you want to comment on something that's going on, or you may say, hey, you know, Kizhound is doing this bald for bucks thing for cancer research. Why don't you go ahead and donate a couple bones over there and, you know, help her out? You know, that sort of thing is going to be stripped out along with any peripheral stuff on your website, any sort of insightful things or fun things that you might put time and energy in are all stripped away. Mm-hmm. And all you get is just the comic itself. Which, if now, it has your URL on it, maybe they'll come and visit you. Maybe. But if they're using this reader, probably they won't. That's my guess.
I get the feeling, though, that...
No, go ahead.
I get the feeling that if people care about the things you have to say, they're going to come to your website. And if not, then they're not going to read it anyway. I agree that it's abominable that they would take your content and slap their ads on it. That sucks. But beyond that,
well, this
I mean,
one
you
doesn't
can't force
seem like I can't find any reference to this thing slapping any ads on it.
If it's ad supported or if they're selling it, I have a severe problem with this, and it will likely get attacked.
This one doesn't seem to have that. From what I can tell, I mean, it's on userscripts.org, and they have a bunch of reviews of it. But userscripts.org, the site that hosts it, has like. And add a sponsor on the side, but outside of that, it's a Grease Monkey script. So, you know, pretty much.
I'm wondering, why aren't these things opt-in? Why would these people not take the time to send you a freaking email and say, hey, here's what we're doing. Would you like me to add your comic to it? Because that'd be cool.
It's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask for permission. Yeah.
I might say, okay. You know, I might say okay to that. Great. Why not? At least they had the decency to ask. Doesn't sound like these guys have the decency to ask.
Well, I mean, it's
no, go ahead.
it sounds like it's just a scraper, right? These are content scrapers, and as long as there's content on the internet, there's going to be people scraping it. It's useless to get angry about it because they're going to keep doing it. They don't care.
That is exactly Exactly true.
I'm thinking that these people who make it, I don't think they're sitting back going, "Mwah-ha-ha." I just think they don't stop to think about how that might impact the person making the comic and possibly, in the case of some folks, their ad revenues or whatever revenue they get back from it. I don't think they've stopped to think about that. I think they're just saying, oh, here's some content. It's free because people go read it anyway. We'll just collect it all in one place.
Right.
And give it keyboard shortcuts to navigate it through.
I mean, the thing is, like, at the end of the day, I'm with you guys. And the other thing is that these guys aren't – there's no advertising on here. If they had advertising, I think people would be pissed. And I think they'd have a right to be pissed for the reasons that we talked about. But in this case, I've had people tell me that they write scripts like this. So the fact that they make the script like this more available, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, this is really only one step away from an RSS feed, really.
Well, yeah, except that, some mentioned earlier that you cannot track traffic to your site through this, whereas through your RSS feed, you could at least see, who's reading it or how many people are reading it.
That is very true.
And you have a lot of control over the display of your RSS feed. Like, you can put a Google ad in that you have the choice to make it a truncated feed or a full content feed or something like that.
I actually just hit the point where, for the first time ever, I needed to know my traffic for a legitimate reason other than to make myself feel better or worse. I was talking to a book agent, and they said, well, what's your traffic like? And if people are reading my stuff through something like this, then that is an inaccurate representation of what my traffic, well, actually is like.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that could impact me unfavorably, but
I don't know. It seems to me like the kind of thing that someone wrote because they like reading comics and then they just shared it with people.
Exactly. It's more like a labor of love.
Yeah, well, it's like, I think it's called dog fooding or something like that, where you code a thing that you want, that you wish existed. But I don't know how much, people that are going to care about the stuff that you care about are going to come to your site. I hope. I don't really know.
Yeah, this is also why I invented the robot girlfriend. I wanted one, and then I had to have one. So.
The there product.
Okay. Well.
And there we have summed up Apple Geeks.
Anyway. I think that's true for a lot of webcomic artists. I do the comic that I wanted to see. Do you guys feel that way?
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots. That's the screed of many a creator.
So I guess programmers are doing it in their own way too. Wait, I get that. Okay, well, let's move on to the next. This next article is from Comic Book Resources, actually via Robot 6. And it talks about pirated manga, which, is the long-lost cousin of the webcomic in many ways. And a blog called Welcome Data Comp has translated a discussion of manga piracy between two manga creators, Ken Akamatsu and Minako Uchida, Minako Uchida and Kazumi Tojo, that took place on the Japanese social media site Together. Yes, Together. and where they talk about free manga versus pirated manga and all that stuff. I feel like we talk about manga readers just about every week at this point here on the newscast. Any of you guys actually read through manga readers at all?
Not really. I don't.
No,
myself.
Not really.
So maybe we're not the best audience to talk about this.
The storytelling in anime and manga just frustrates me nowadays. So I kind of had to quit it because I'm like, quit making bad choices. Communicate. Talk about your feelings. It's not that hard. That's just me, though.
Well, here's one interesting quote from the article. It says, it seems like people will pay for things they can touch like vegetables, but they think it's a waste to pay for intangible data. Ooh, that's deep, right?
Not really. It's kind of dumb.
Why is that?
Is that mistranslated, do you think? Or is that what he meant to say? It seems like
I think that's what he meant to say.
No, well, it's in the context of
people won't shoplift they won't shoplift manga. These are tons of people who won't go out and physically steal it from the store, but they'll gladly go out and steal it online.
Well, it's a lot easier to do that.
That's also true.
It's cheaper and less dangerous.
Do you think if it was as quote unquote easy to get caught stealing digital as it was to get caught stealing physical things like shoplifting, like if it was that kind of had the same level of both retribution and kind of security around it, that people would still do it as much? I mean, do you think it's the intangible format that, because people are like, oh, it's a file. I copied a file, so I copied it. Whereas with physical things, it's like, oh, this is a physical thing. I couldn't just recreate this so quickly. Or is it the level of retribution that plays a factor?
Oh, I think if you physically steal something, like a physical thing, you're in a lot more trouble, I think, at least that's the perception. I mean, you've seen it with the movie industry and the music industry. You know, somebody copies files, that's all they're doing, but then they get hit with these huge lawsuits.
Right now there's an interesting thing where when you shoplift something, there is a serious fine or punishment associated with it, but it is small and it is dispersed. In other words, your likelihood for getting picked up for shoplifting per shoplift experience is higher and the punishment generally lower. Whereas with stealing things digitally, you personally rarely get caught. The individual person rarely gets caught. You hear about one person getting like totally hammered for it, but you don't hear about the everyday person all the time getting like, you know, all the stuff. It's
true.
When you don't get hit, you don't even notice, but then when you do, you're hit really, 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 really hard. So do you think if that weren't the case, if they hit everybody a little bit more often like real shoplifting, that this stuff would still be happening?
There are too many people, I think, to hit. They're trying to make examples of people so that everyone else is too afraid to keep stealing.
Right.
But I don't really understand. Are these people not? Are they refusing to sell English versions? Is that what's happening?
Well, a lot of it, just the English version takes a lot more time. It's a different market, and so a lot of manga is so popular in pirated form in America mm-hmm. because they hide behind the idea. Well, it takes so long for us to get it. We want to read it right when it comes out, so someone scans it right away, translates it right away, and posts it right away. So manga that comes out on a Thursday is up online by Friday morning. And now someone's probably going to write in and be like, actually, it's released on Wednesdays, not Thursdays. But, you know, whatever it is, like, it's up that fast. And the same with anime nowadays is that they don't put out the subtitles and dubbings of it as quickly as they do just broadcast it in Japan, because that's a whole other step of the process. And the rights and all that and publishing, whatever, is a different market. So a lot of American community for those things tends to say, oh, well, we can't get it. So it's not like we're stealing. We're trying to make something popular that wasn't popular. And it's not like we could go out and buy it, which I'll admit, the things that I go out of my way and find a way to procure are the things that I couldn't easily find. Like, if I can find it and buy it, I'll buy it. But if I can't find it, then I don't see the harm.
Well, I kind of feel it's the publisher's fault for not making it available to me for purchase.
Yeah, let's blame them.
No, that's absolutely how I justify. Like watching episodes of Sherlock on side reel instead of I couldn't find them anywhere to buy.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's not out yet, and it's so good.
It really is great. I very much enjoy it.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat is a god among men. Should we talk about him for half an hour? We can do it. I think we can.
I really liked Coupling.
Who?
Coupling was so good, right?
Yeah.
Coupling is like, I learned about writing from Coupling. Because, man, the way that he... Okay, everyone should watch Coupling. Moving on.
Pulling rank, moving on.
Yes. On to the tidbit section. I'm ashamed to read out my own plug, but Super Art Fight, the live action art competition event that I happened to help create, has recently received a write-up, albeit a small one, in Wired magazine, which features in it a photo of webcomic artist Amy Bogan of Glass Urchin. Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's at Intervention.
Yep, from Intervention. Right, yeah, you were there.
Things are everywhere in that picture.
Yeah, well, we sent them all the pictures and they cropped it.
Woohoo.
Still pretty, make it look pretty epic. So, yeah. Yeah, so we got right up in Wired magazine.
My bananas are in Wired magazine. That's awesome.
Your bananas are in Wired magazine. That doesn't sound good. All right, and with that, we'll move on. Yay for me.
That's congratulations, Ross. That really is awesome.
Yeah.
And good thing about the bananas, too.
But I've,
yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. So. bananas is going to be my new catchphrase for bully. Yay, bananas.
So when we close out the show, we're going to be like peanut butter and bananas.
Yeah, exactly.
That just segues even better into peanut butter jelly time.
Okay, so the next article, Penny and Aggie, the webcomic, has recently featured a storyline where two characters who are both female are about to make out. And Willis, why am I blanking on his first name?
Dave Willis.
Dave Willis. Oh, my God, thank you. You know, I accidentally hit on his wife once. No, I'm sorry.
Good story.
Good story.
He bought out the ad on the sidebar and targeted the ad directly at that comic and put one of his characters in the sidebar yelling at the people in the comic to not do what was about to happen.
No, you're supposed to do that with boys, was what the character said.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a caption that said, sorry, Joyce doesn't get out much.
Yeah. I don't read Penny and Aggie enough to know the story that well, but I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, good use of the medium right there.
Mm-hmm. But of course, Jeff Jacks from Questionable Content decided to battle for that position with Yelling Bird. For those who know, that's a character... an interim character, which just yells at the audience, essentially. And he ended up winning, and we Tumblr's down, so I can't link to it, but it was Yelling Bird going, suck it, Willis!
Oh, that's
no, always... the actual ad said, you know, pointed at the same page and said, this better lead to fisting.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeff and Dave seem to have this amusing rivalry that...
frenemies?
From time to time, yeah. Frenemies.
By the way, this article is via Comics Talk, before I forget.
I wish I was their friend.
Xavier Xerxes for finding that out and posting it. I've seen this happen before, actually, with Super Art Fight. Our own Dern actually bought out ads on Danielle Corsetto's site when she was going to be fighting in an art fight and posted all of her ads saying, you're going down, Corsetto. And they're all drawn by the artist she was going to go up against. It was pretty amazing. I think more people need to have fun with ads. I think it's great. I also think they probably got way more clicks on that ad than any other.
It's the old Benny Allen feud in webcomic form.
How's that?
It's the feud between Jack Benny and Fred Allen.
Okay.
On radio, which is probably the first example of the frenemy thing, where they would razz each other on their shows until it finally culminated in them finally meeting in a showdown sort of thing.
Did they fight to the death?
No, it was just comedic.
Oh.
It was just comedic.
Much like Chris Hulbeck and what's his face? Brian Wilson have a little epic battle every Kineticon.
Reminds me of the Nostalgia Critic versus the angry video game nerd that was staged a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this comes up every so often. If anyone wants to pick a fight with me, let me know. And I'll win.
Hey, picking a fight with you could get traffic up for any of us, so.
It's true.
Oh.
Ross, you smell.
I hate you and your comic sucks.
Your hat is dumb.
That's not good.
All you do is cut paste art.
It's not working, guys.
Okay, next up is from Bleeding Cool News, is an article submitted by Rich Johnston from Dennis O'Neill, who links to a bunch of, well, he's been doing this series called How to Write Comics and Graphic Novels by Dennis O'Neill, and the most recent features 11 books that you should read to help you make you a better writer. So have you guys read, I'll name these and let's go through them and see how many everyone's read. Screenplay by Sid Field.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Adventures in the Screen Trade by William Goldman.
Nope.
No.
Hitchcock by Truffaut. I've actually read that.
Negative.
No.
All right. A Scribbler's Guide to the Land of Myth by Sarah Beach.
Nope.
No. Or Crickets. Comics and Sequential Art by Will Eisner. I read that one.
Yes, I've read it.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's the prequel to Understanding Comics.
Kinda.
I flipped through it.
Okay. Graphic Storytelling by Will Eisner?
Ditto.
Read that?
I may have, I forget. I've read a few.
I know I've flipped through the pages at the bookstore anyway. For both of those, I know I have.
It's worth it. The layout's not that interesting, but it's a good read. Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud?
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
That's one that I actually own.
DC Comics Guide to Writing Comics. Comics.
Nope.
No.
By Dennis O'Neill.
that's a little sneaky, I think.
I like how he snuck it in the middle of this.
Snuck it in.
Yeah, well, you put it in at number 8 because he doesn't want to be at the top because then he looks like a dick, and then you don't put it at the end because
that,
you
know, just stands out. He's like, oh, a little sneak action.
That's good. I like it.
He also, by the way, I love this because all of these links are links to the Amazon for all of them, which all use his affiliate code. Anytime you buy one of these books, so once you clicked on these links, he gets money for it.
Dennis, you crafty dog.
I don't fault him for that because it doesn't cost you any extra money if you buy something on Amazon and it's through his link. It just gets him some. So, you know, more power to him. I just thought that was crafty. Okay, The Writer's Journey by Christopher Vogler.
Oh.
Crickets. Save the Cat by Blake Snyder.
Never heard of it.
Nope. That doesn't sound like a writing book to me.
And, is it about furries?
I don't know.
And Writing for Comics with Peter David.
Wow, you were ready to go with that. That's amazing.
InstantCrickets.com. Thanks, everyone.
Right. I was gonna try to find the "Don't Copy That Floppy" song for the previous discussion about scanlations, but yeah, I didn't get it in time.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so does anyone here have any links to books that help make them better writers, or anything that make them better writers?
I really liked Stephen King's On Writing, but I think everyone has that.
What's the E.B. White book on style that everyone always talks about? It's on my shelf. I'm looking for it right now. I can't remember the name.
Winnie the Pooh?
No, not that.
Is it the Manual Style Guide of Chicago, Winnie whatever?
I like the Manual Style Guide of Winnie the Pooh.
It's called The Elements of Style by William Strunk Jr. and E.B. White, and it's a great book. Great book on writing. How about, actually, I would say watch Coupling. Dead serious. Watch Coupling. It will make you a better writer. It's so smart. I get to tie that back in, which makes me happy. Okay. Any other book recommendations?
No, that's a pretty comprehensive list.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, nope. Go for it.
Yep.
All right.
I have nothing to add to that.
Fair enough. So, moving on. Food Network's Top Chef and Marvel Spider-Man team up in a digital comic. Spider-Man has teamed up with Top Chef's Eli Kirstein. Yeah.
Finally.
I know, oh. Right? I was always saying, like, when is that going to happen? It seems like such an obvious pairing. Wow. I've watched some Top Chef. I've watched a lot of Top Chef All-Stars this year. Was this, like, something that they won in a challenge this year or something? It's got to be, right? I mean, they didn't just pick this guy out of thin air. It must have been.
It's an advertisement. It sounds like it's okay, recently on Linkara on Atop the Fourth Wall reviewed a PSA comic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a terrible PSA comic because it heavily features Office Max, and Office Max supplies help find Dr. Doom for the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, and assorted teachers that were accredited are in the comic too. And it's just like, it's all sorts of terrible. And it's like, oh, we couldn't have done it without these supplies from Office Max. And it's like, I see what this is going to be. It's just some Food Network thing.
Do you guys remember the, what was it? Hostess ads that had like Twinkies.
Cherry pie. Oh, those were great.
and they had like curses. Dr. Doom's been foiled by Hostess Twinkies and Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. I remember that. Oh my God.
Fruit Pie the Magician.
Oh. No, not those delicious fruit pies! The ones with the creamy fruit filling!
Well, oh, the fruit pies are so great because, you know, like Batman or Superman would dole them out to save the day, and while the bad guy was eating the fruit pie, he said, okay, now you can arrest me. Take me to jail. As long as I have a Hostess fruit pie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also had one where it was all about brushing your teeth and flossing, and Spider-Man again, actually. Spider-Man seemed to be in a lot
of... This actually reminds me of a website called Comics with Problems. It's run by this guy named Ethan Persoff. It's at ep.tc/problems, where he finds and scans and puts up all of these PSA comics from, like, the 50s and 60s and 70s, and... Let's see. There's one where Spider-Man talks about.
They got the Yogi Bear Dare one. I remember.
Yeah, and the 15th one he posted is about Spider-Man getting like sexually abused or something like that.
Spider-Man has a secret.
Yeah.
Oh God.
You'll have to give me the link for that. Email me the link.
I'm putting it in the chat.
Oh my God! It actually says, "Here's a quote from Spider-Man in this comic." I know that getting help is a good idea because back when I was a kid, before I developed superpowers, I was sexually abused by my trusted friend Skip. Who the hell is Skip? I was not injured in any Spider-Man canon. And what?
It's terrible.
Yep.
By the way, we're not being insensitive to anybody who has been, you know, sexually abused by their friend Skip.
We are.
But this is just ridiculous.
Exclusively, yeah.
Yeah.
People should seek help if they need it. Also, Spider-Man got abused by a guy named Skip. What? Who named someone Skip? How about that?
I have to read
one of my
later.
Favorite ones
this...
is the one about Captain Awareness.
Yeah, he raped me with sexual assault. What?
Okay. Is that what it says?
Is that real? It's that doesn't look real.
I think it's real. I really think it's real. I don't think you can make this stuff up if you try. This is the kind of thing that you just, wow. Okay.
There's one about communism, too.
Oh, thank God.
Anyway, I think we should move on.
Probably right. Okay, well, check those out because they're fun and informative. Via MTV Geek, fans are helping to rally around. This is not necessarily webcomics related, but fans are helping to rally around Firefly. Because Nathan Fillion wants to buy back the rights and give it away to fans.
Stick a fork in it, it's done.
Not well, on the other side of the fence over here, I'm so excited about this, but it actually works.
Wait,
but I can always hope.
What do you mean give it back to the fans?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Like make
it
public
domain?
Right
now, the rights for it are owned by, who is it?
It's Fox, still owns it.
Yeah, and so he's trying to buy back the rights from them, and then basically give up the rights.
He would, you know, make more of it on his own and then release it for free on the internet.
Yeah.
What he, yeah, well, somebody, like, somebody said, would you make more? And he said, if I won the lottery, $300 million tomorrow, sure, I'd try to buy the rights and put it on the internet and do it forever.
I think it would cost a lot more than $300 million to produce that show.
Well, not to mention, they can sell the rights for any amount that they want, and if they know people want it for $300 million, then guess what? The price is going to go up to $400 million because they want to make money off this thing.
But they're going to make money off of it anyway.
But
greedy little bastards.
I saw was it Patrick Rothfuss who said he'd donate all the money of his next book and help in an open letter to Nathan Fillion where he's like, oh, I'll help you buy it. Yeah, a lot of geeks are getting behind this. Man, if geeks have that much money to throw away on Firefly, please buy something from my website, hilaraawesome.com. Thank you.
I just don't know. Whenever I hear this sort of thing, all I can think of is what John Lennon said about the Beatles breaking up. He says, it's nothing important. It's just a rock band. The albums are there if you want to reminisce.
Yeah, but
you know,
Firefly's
done. They ended it. Babylon 5, done. Ended it. You know, there's only so much you can do.
There's so much more of the world to explore.
No, wait a second. Yeah,
other characters.
Yeah. And the Beatles were together for, you know, like 5 or 6 years. Like and they produced a ton of work. Like we got 14 episodes and a movie out of this premise that is awesome, and I want to see more of.
Yeah, I'm with Carter on this one. I mean, I would love to see more Firefly. I don't know how they could do it because so much time has passed. Like the actors aren't in the same places anymore. And, you know, a lot of them...
They killed some of them. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Yeah.
Some are dead. Like,
even if they go, like, back to before some of that stuff happened, filling in the in-between, like, they're older. They're, like, 5 or 10 years older now.
Yeah, they can't make a prequel to a Serenity.
What are you going to do? Are you going to have, Firefly the Next Generation or something? I mean... I mean, it's not even... You know, I mean, yeah, you. I guess you could... You know, cast it or something. I mean, I don't know. Animate it maybe, and then they could just do their voices like the Star Trek actors did there for the.
Oh man, that's.
They did a comic book series.
A lot of comics, yeah. I'm pretty sure it still exists in some form or another. Because why the hell not? Mm. And finally, one more article for today. Mark Zuckerberg is to be featured in a graphic novel all about himself. via PC Magazine and our own Mark Savory. Mark Zuckerberg.
Don't blame me, I just saw Facebook. It
shelves on Wednesday. It's a 48-page biographical comic, which makes him look like a really happy guy.
God, look at that face.
It is $7.
Such a stupid face.
$7 for 48 pages of Mark Zuckerberg.
$7, there's plenty of other stuff you can buy.
I think so, too. I just remember a grouchy tweet I made about Zuckerberg that said, see if I can remember it.
Tell us all the tweet you made.
It said, the grouchy Sherman tweet was that Mark Zuckerberg got punched in the face. He got beat up by a bunch of guys, and his face got punched in 60 times. Irony, it was posted on the Facebook.
Ouch. By the way, the creator of this comic, Mark Zuckerberg, creator of Facebook, is Blue Water Productions, have also released other biographical comics, including stories about pop star Justin Bieber, First Lady Michelle Obama, and actor William Shatner. There's one I want to
read. I want to see that one. I don't know. I don't really care about the others, but I might want to see.
The Amazons. Cause,
the Shatner one. I might be interested in Michelle and the Shat.
The Shat.
The Shat.
That sounds terrible. Gosh.
Doesn't everyone call him the Shat?
No, they call him Bill.
I mean,
I don't know. That Bieber comic looks pretty sexy.
They did one on Vincent Price. Oh my God, yes.
I love the Justin Bieber joke they made on The Office last week. Dwight mistakes his name for Justice Bieber. So now there's just a bunch of Justice Bieber, you know, a superheroed Bieber.
Well, it's Jim's reaction. He's like, yeah, he's a beaver that fights crime.
Yeah.
Justice Beaver. Awesome.
Justice Beaver.
That sounds not lame like Justin, what is it, Justin Butthead. Justin Bieber.
Okay, not only do they have William Shatner presents Man O' War, William Shatner presents the Tech War Chronicles, and William Shatner presents the Quest for Tomorrow, they have Walter Koenig's Things to Come. Yes, they got Walter Koenig to a comic. Thank God. The world was missing it, and now it exists.
He was, and Walter Koenig was in a B-sci-fi movie. I thought I Moontrap. Had it. Some. Is that what it was?
Moontrap.
Oh, my God. There's one called Pistol Fist. Guess what? He's got a fist for a pistol.
I need a link to that. Oh. Where is that? I need that.
She'll be telling me Axe Cop is about a cop who uses an axe.
Yeah, this is about on par.
I'll chop off your head.
By the way, as a quick follow up to since we discussed Rat Fist on a previous comic, have you guys been reading Rat Fist?
I have not.
Rat Fist is so fun, and I love the website. It's like such a nice looking version of Comic Press, but you know, a really nice one. It is Rat Fist, right? I didn't screw that up too, did I?
No, ratfist.com, the guy from the creator of Earthworm Jim.
Exactly. Yeah, in fact, it featured Earthworm Jim the other day. It was pretty funny. Yeah, Pistol Fist. That's amazing. Oh, Lordy.
His other hand appears to be... Oh, wait, no, it's a mask. I thought it was one of those foam fingers like at baseball games. For a second.
Okay. Let's create a superhero who has a foam finger hand. Oh. Doesn't even do anything special, it just is a foam finger hand.
It's just a foam finger hand.
And he uses it to like bat
to
away.
Poke food on Tumblr.
And to poke food. Lovely. All right. Do you guys have anything you want to plug since we have a couple minutes here at the end of the show?
I do a webcomic.
That's what they tell me. What's going on in your webcomic for these days, Mark?
Oh, we're exploring the trials and travails of a new invention called the Face-O-Matic. So if you have a face that ain't so hot, you can get the penultimate pan if you use this machine. It'll awesome. Make you handsome.
You have to stick your face in the lathe, thing? Though, first, but...
But yeah, there's got to be a drawback. There's got to be something, you know, horrible happens.
Well, we're still finding that out as the story progresses.
Yeah, I want to know what happens. Like, what if I stick my hand in it, will I have a hand face?
Well, no, it's just a device that helps to shape your face. It's not really a lathe in the traditional woodshop sense.
It still oh, man.
It's very painful when you put it like that.
Face lathe.
This orb.
If there anybody listening in Pittsburgh, Paul and I are going to the Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Oh, awesome!
We got a booth.
If anyone's in the DC area next month, Super Art Fight will be having a show in Washington DC, March 18th. We will be featuring Super Art Fight alum, lots of Super Art Fight alums, a few special guest stars, and a burlesque act in between shows. I'm excited.
Are you going to be doing the striptease?
No, my clothes will stay on, but I get to announce the striptease. That's going to be fun.
Oh, okay. That might be all right.
Is it like, is it, I mean, I've seen sort of cosplay striptease. Is that what's going on?
We're actually still working out who we're going to get. I'm trying to get cosplay burlesque because that would be amazing.
Yeah, because, you know, Poison Ivy dancing around removing leaves. It's, you know, erotic.
It's a good show. It's a good show. Yeah. All right. Well, with that... I have something to share. Oh, what's that, Alex?
Oh, boy.
In exactly 2 weeks, I will be turning 25.
What?
It's my birthday.
Oh, wow. Your insurance will get lower.
Yay.
That's
and I'll
actually
be able
a pretty
to rent
big deal.
A car without paying extra. Cheaper.
You can go rent a car and then be like,
you can rent a car.
Yep.
In my pink cupcake dress that I'm going to buy. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. Well, with that, thank you once again to all of you guys for being on the show today. Thanks to Alex of AlexIsGuide.net, Fess of PSIWebcomic.com, Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com, Carter Fort of CrookedGremlins.com, and again to Eric of Exern comiccomic.com for doing all of our research. I've been Ross Scott of The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. And if you would like to reach us here at the Webcomic Beacon, you just have to send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. And send us any tips, questions, comments, whatever. We'll be sure to mention them on the show. And with that, check out more over at webcomicbeacon.com. For those of you live streaming, stay tuned because the Tropecast is up next. Right, Pess?
No, it's a core program. We're going to be talking about the Bechdel-Wallace test. Yes.
I'm sorry, what's the topic?
We'll get into it. Just stay tuned. Okay, go ahead.
With that, thank you all very much for tuning in. I've been your host, Ross Scott. And once again, peanut butter jelly and bananas. Thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
Did I hear you right? Did I hear you saying that you're gonna make a copy of a game without paying? Come on, guys! I thought you knew better. Don't copy that floppy. Don't copy.